You recall that yesterday on the program, State Representative John Cross was with us talking about his announcement last week of millions of dollars that have been allocated for the 83rd District in a nearly $2 billion supplemental appropriations bill passed by the Ohio House. But many in the Ohio Senate are unhappy with the way their colleagues in the House have handled that appropriations bill, touting allocations they say are a long way from being finalized. Senator Rob McCauley joins us this morning to offer his take. And Senator, first of all, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Now, as I understand it, many have said, wait a minute, hold the phone. We're announcing these allocations, these appropriations. Prematurely, that this is a long way from being done. But you seem to have also taken exception to the entire process in the way that this bill was drafted and introduced and passed in the House. Is that right?
Well, thank you for having me on, Chris. I truly appreciate it. And I think, you know, to answer that question, I think it would be helpful for the listeners to hear kind of what the historical precedent has been on these types of bills. This is not the first time we've passed these types of large in-district spending bills. We do it usually every other year,
right,
with the passage of the capital budget. And this process is much the same, or at least we thought it was going to be much the same. And let me start by laying a few ground rules here. My goal here is to just make sure that people have the most accurate information. That's the most important thing that's happening right now. I'm not trying to make, you know, a political statement or anything like that.
Understood.
And I'm not saying that projects that were in House Bill 2 are not going to be funded. I look forward to learning more about them. But typically when we pass these in-district spending bills, it's part of the customary process is collaborative, it's cooperative, and ultimately it's fair. And the way that it works is the two chambers, the members from their districts go out, they attract these projects, they gather these projects, they come together with representatives and senators from those districts and compare notes. And at least in my case, we usually come up with an agreed upon list of projects and an agreed-upon appropriation request for each project. The senators and representatives then, throughout that exhaustive process, then pass along their lists and appropriation requests to their respective finance chairs and chamber leadership and chamber staff. And then a final version of the bill gets negotiated between both chambers before the bill even gets introduced, typically. And that does a few things. Number one, it makes sure that every member in the entire legislature has an opportunity to come together have an input into the process. But it also grants predictability to the grant recipients insofar as they're able, once a bill is introduced, it is practically etched in stone. It's not going to change. Mm-hmm. And then they can go forward with predictability to make their own spending decisions of those bills. That's how these bills have worked my entire time in the legislature. And I've been in since 2015, so for whatever that is worth.
So to be clear, and I want to make sure that we emphasize this because we don't want to give the wrong impression, you are not necessarily opposed to the allocations themselves so much as the process, which was, as you said, unusual for these types of bills.
That would be fair to say. I have not had a chance to learn enough about any of these projects. And as I mentioned before, many of them sound like they're very good projects.
Fair enough.
But I think there's an awful lot of process left to play out, whereas if we would have gone the typical route, this all would have been worked out before the bill were introduced.
Now, what we're talking about here is, and help me understand this, what we're talking about here mainly is the Strategic Investment Fund, which is this one-time pot of money from the overage of the previous operating budget that has been set aside for these types of capital projects beyond what would normally be included in the capital budget. And there's something like $900 million or something in this strategic investment fund. But as we mentioned, the House bill, HB 2, was a nearly $2 billion supplemental appropriations bill. So did it also include the House version of the capital budget itself?
No, it did not. So it's the Strategic Investment Fund, as a refresher, was $700
million.
Basically excess GRF, excess general revenue fund money that we really couldn't build in on an ongoing basis into our operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a reflection of, you know, good fiscal management from the state of Ohio.
Right.
Being able to have that excess and saying, this is one-time money. How do we return it to our districts? How do we return it to the voters and the taxpayers to make sure that our communities can take advantage of this? The extra money that was in the bill, my understanding, it includes some Public Works Commission money. It included some other appropriations in there, which is typical in a capital bill as well, is that some broader state priorities would also be funded in those bills.
So not out of the ordinary there with respect to that. And Mr. Cross's response to the criticism that this was done without the cooperative and collaborative nature that you refer to is that the House basically allocated half of the strategic investment fund in this bill and left the other half for the Senate to spend. Isn't that fair?
No, and this is something that the Senate has been pretty clear since December, is that while typically in this negotiation, sometimes it works out where a tally is kept of House projects versus Senate projects, and in many cases that works out to be close to 50-50 at the end of the day. It's all part of the ongoing process and the negotiation that happens between two chambers to make sure that everybody's voices are heard, and most importantly, to make sure that both chambers get eyes on the bill that they're ultimately going to vote for and provide that level of oversight that they're required to do and expected to do by the taxpayers of the state of Ohio. There was never an agreement between the chambers to say one chamber will go alone without oversight or questioning or any sort of involvement from the other chamber, and then the other chamber gets to do the same thing without any questioning or oversight or involvement from the first chamber. There was never any agreement in that regard.
There are those who have speculated that one of the reasons why the House did what they did, the way that they did it, was because they wanted to get these, they wanted to go on the record with these appropriations, these allocations, before the primary election. There are members of the House that are involved in re-election battles. And as we were talking about yesterday, the Senate late last year quietly decided to delay the capital budget process, pushing that back until well after the election that would normally be taking place right now. We would be talking about the capital budget project. That moving that whole capital budget process back upset some members of the House. Did that play into the House's action with respect to this bill?
Well, I can't speculate exactly as to why they decided to move on the timeline that they did. But, you know, looking at the bill, one thing that I think is lends itself again to more of an involved process with both chambers to make sure it's fair is that the Dayton Daily News did publish an article yesterday morning, mentioning that nearly 20% of the counties in the state of Ohio, 16 out of 88 counties, nearly 20% of the counties in the state of Ohio received no funding from the Strategic Investment Fund. And let's be honest, when you're spending $350 million, that's taxpayers' money, whether you live in Franklin County, you know, Meigs County or Lucas County or Hancock County. And two of those counties actually were Putnam and Allen County locally.
They got nothing.
They got nothing. They got $0 from the funding.
Yeah.
And again, this is not my analysis. This is the Dayton Daily News that wrote an article. So, again, this lends itself to the to the fact that the process should have been more collaborative and cooperative to ensure that fairness that I'm talking about.
Now, in our conversation yesterday with Mr. Cross, he openly admitted that part of the reason why the House took the action they did was to hold the Senate's feet to the fire and create leverage to prevent the Senate from tinkering with those allocations. But is this going to cause a rift in the state legislature? Is it likely that these monies are going to be reallocated, that some of these expenses will be rejected, reduced, that kind of thing?
I think it's too early to say that. I think a more likely scenario here is that maybe we press the reset button on this process and that there might be a separate bill that gets run through the normal customary process that ensures that we're more involved, that we can all provide the adequate amount of oversight, and ensures that every member, including House and Senate members, get a fair shake. This is a bicameral process. That's the way our process works. It's required to go through both chambers no matter what. And then, of course, it's required to go to the governor for the signature. So we feel very strongly that with these types of projects, there needs to be that involved process to make sure that the process does not go off the rails and that each member gets a fair shake.
We will leave it there for now, but obviously we'll continue to follow this very important story involving the Strategic Investment Fund and the way those dollars will be allocated throughout the state. Again, State Senator Rob McCauley, thanks very much for taking the time, sharing your perspective on this. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. And like I said, I look forward to learning more about these projects. Thank you so much.